So our reading today is from Psalm 42. If you're in a church Bible, this begins on page 469. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. Glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and by night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
As we've been going through a few of the Psalms over the summer, I've had a bit of a break. I haven't been here, or I think last week we continued in the Psalms, but in my absence, I believe Psalm 11, anyone remember? Yes, there we go. Psalm 11 was spoken on last week. As I've been looking at the Psalms, though, I've been seeking to answer three questions. First and simply, what's going on? Secondly, where is Jesus? And thirdly, what does it mean for us? How does it change us? How do we apply it to our lives? Today, the last two questions are quite short, and the first one's quite long. So if we get a significant time through, don't think we're going to time that by three with the last two questions. But what is going on in this psalm? The psalm that's written, not sure by whom, but it's one to be sung, it's for the choir master, seems, or at least feels like, someone is talking to themselves. They're trying to summon up the desire to worship God. They're recognizing that their circumstances are causing difficulties, but that they need to look to God, and they're trying to persuade themselves, despite everything else, to look to God. A few weeks ago, if you remember, we looked at Psalm 22, which was another prayer of lament. The psalmist, David, was forsaken. He felt like his prayers were going unanswered. And he sought to bring himself into a closer walk with God. And it's similar to what's going on here. Psalm 42 and 3 form much of a lament, a downcast soul that seems to stem from a desire to be close to God. Hence the opening, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? I want to appear before him. And that seems like such a positive thing. And the song that you may have thought we were having this morning, which we're not, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul, that as the, I'm not going to try and sing it, but you all have probably sung it as we read this morning. The theme of that song to me seems quite positive and upbeat, thinking about how great Jesus is. But actually, this psalm seems to go the other way. The psalmist is saying, I want to be close to God, but what have I found? Instead, I find tears. Tears have been my food. the rest of these two psalms seem, as I said, to be someone almost muttering to themselves, to draw nearer to God, to trust in God, to long for God, despite everything else. A bit like if you were trying to do a parachute jump, I don't know why you would, but some people find it fun. Standing on the edge of the plane, saying to yourself, come on, you can do this, you can do this. The psalmist is saying, come on, draw nearer to God, hope in God. Through ever-increasing circumstances, there is one solution, repeated several times, hope in God. So what are those circumstances? What are those circumstances? First, we find loneliness. Verses 3 and 4 say this, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? While the people of the world say to me, while the tears remind me, maybe both, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go out with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. We see the psalmist, and in my mind's eye, he's in his room in tears, remembering the times when he was with God's people, leading them in a procession to the house of God, praising God, a multitude together. And now it appears, for reasons unknown to me, unknown to us, he is isolated, desperately trying to cast his mind back to those days. As he seeks God like a deer seeks water, the only nourishment he's finding, the only liquid he's finding are his tears. He's finding the river dry, but his eyes full, as he is left isolated or feels left isolated in a world. It's very difficult to serve God in isolation. It's very difficult to summon up the desire to draw near to God when we do it alone. But it's so much easier when we are surrounded by God's people together, spurring each other on. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It's a reminder of this. And we thought about it about this time last year, actually. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Spur each other on, gather together, encourage each other. Much like the psalmist found great joy and delight in praising God in that festival atmosphere. We've seen in the past few years the doors of churches being shut. We've seen services going online. For some greatly enjoyed it, being able to watch sermons with a cup of tea in your hand, being able to pick whatever songs you want to sing as you sung them in the house. Well, I was going to say dance around the house. We did a bit in ours as we listened to, I think it was Rendco Kids on repeat, time and time again with the children. They loved those songs. But I would much rather sing a song I didn't particularly pick myself in a crowd of other people than I would my favorite song by myself time and time again. How good it is to come and be able to gather together. We were thinking yesterday at the breakfast, the men, as we were in our discussion, as we were talking just at the end, just for some points for prayer, several of us had been away over the summer, either to Keswick or to Abba, which are in my mind, both about as far from here as you can possibly get, or to Athlington for Pioneer Camp, which is half an hour away. And we all said there's something great about a condensed period of time just surrounded by God's people. And I don't feel it quite as much at the moment, but I'm used to when I left Pioneer Camp, which had There's about 160 people, 40 adults who were all Christians, committed to God's word. And I spent 2 weeks in that wonderful atmosphere. And then I'd go back to teaching in a school where I was one of three Christians. And the difference is so stark. It's so great to be able to gather together. But there will still be times when we feel alone, when we feel like we are the only believer in a world that's against us. What is the answer to that problem? Well, firstly, we're never alone. Verse 5, the psalmist is questioning himself. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why is there turmoil within me? Hope in God. That's the answer to this problem. I'm alone, I'm isolated, but I need to hope in God. I will again praise him. Why? He is my salvation and my God. Ultimately, we are never alone. God is with us. Hope in God. We feel isolated and alone. Hope in God. What's next? Verse 6 continues, and we see this picture of a man under pressure. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon from Mount Mazar. Deep calls to deep. The roar of your waterfalls, the breakers of your waves have gone over me. I don't know if you've ever stood beneath a waterfall or a particularly big wave. The pressure you feel, the weight bearing down on you is enormous. The psalmist, it seems, not only is he isolated, but he feels under pressure, burdened, weighted down. The way he says, your breakers, your waves, seems to imply that maybe he's feeling under pressure from the demands that God has on his life. Under the Old Testament covenant, the demands were rigorous, the demands were extreme. How great it is that we aren't under the law, but are under grace. But we still feel pressure. We still feel at times in life like the waters are pouring on us and we struggle to breathe as we're under the pressure from the deep that calls to the deep. That pressure can be caused by our pride, our reluctance to accept help. That pressure can be caused by our desire for more, our reluctance to turn to God. That pressure may be caused by other people who put so many demands on us that it pushes us away from a devoted relationship to God. The manager who asks us to work more and more. The child who refuses to go to sleep at night, so you find it difficult to take time to study God's word. Whatever it may be, there will be times in life where we feel great pressure. It may be that we feel a great burden to please God. We forget to recognize the wonderful grace that's been poured out upon us. Our service becomes more an act to please and to try to earn our salvation rather than as it should be an act of thanksgiving and adoration. Even amongst this, the psalmist recognizes God's love, where he says, the Lord commands me in verse 8, by his steadfast love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. But he still feels downcast. Verse 9, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemy, a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. Not only may this pressure, as I said, appear to come from a desire to serve God, but this pressure comes from the world who taunt him. There was that brief period of remembering God's love. It may be for us that Sunday is fine. We come to church, we remember God's love, but then we go about our daily lives, Monday to Friday, where we feel the oppression of the world, the oppression of the enemy, the devil who attacks us through others in the world. if that's us this morning, if we feel under pressure, burdened, what should we do? Verse 11, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Why are you letting the pressure get to you? What can you do? Hope in God. Again, I shall praise him. He's my salvation. My works are not my salvation. The way I please other people is not my salvation. What is my salvation? My salvation is God through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Trust God. He is sovereign. He is almighty. If you're trusting him, one day he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Come, you who are blessed. Don't let the pressure get to you. Hope in God. And finally, what's going on in the psalmist as we head into Psalm 43? We recognize a man who has been rejected, one who is falsely accused. Hence the reason his first word is, vindicate me. Declare my name clear. Have my innocence displayed. Vindicate me, O God. Defend my cause against an ungodly people. One who is falsely accused by the ungodly people in the world. Deceitful and unjust men. The psalmist asks God to deliver him. He has been rejected by those around him. He has been lied about. He has been condemned. He has been vilified, made to look like the bad person. And he wants vindication. He remembers that the only one we can take refuge in is God. Verse 2, you are the God in whom I take refuge. People have a natural tendency to take refuge in each other, in popularity, in having the same opinion as other people. Actually, the one that we can take refuge in, God alone. And yet the questions still go on. And you really feel the burden and the pain of the psalmist. As yes, he accepts there's a God in whom he can take refuge, but he continues to ask, why have you rejected me? Why am I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Why am I still so downcast? What does he want God to do? We find the answer in verse 3. Send out your light and truth. Let them lead me. Let me be led by your words, your truths. As a torch guides our ways in the night, may the truth guide him through life. As people are hurling abuse at him, as people are lying about him, making up untruths, may the truth of God guide him, bringing them to God's dwelling place, the holy hill, the altar of God, to the God who brings exceeding joy of verse 4, so that the psalmist can praise God with the lyre. The musical instrument, the lyre, not the liar who tells lies that I've just mentioned. How difficult it is when the world is against us, when family, friends, colleagues are against us because of the truths to which we hold. How much, even though they may not be, how much we can perceive people slinging mud against us simply for trusting in the God of this world. Sorry, the God of creation, simply for trusting in the one true God, upholding his one word. How difficult that can be, particularly if it's untrue. What do we need to do? We need to continue to look to God's word to be our light and our truth. Jesus said at the end of the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11, blessed are you when others revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Blessed are you when people do that. Rejoice and be glad. not because you'll be vindicated necessarily on this earth, not because one day all those people who hate you now will love you. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven. There is a great reward ahead. What's the answer when the world's against us, when we are rejected and despised? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil? Hope in God. I will praise him again, my salvation and my God. In our lowest moments, our moments of isolation, our moments of pressure, our moments of rejection, what is the answer? Hope in God. We will be able to praise him again. As we draw to a close, the last two questions. Where is Jesus? You could almost see this psalm as a prophetic psalm of the last moments before the cross. Jesus was isolated and alone. His closest followers, the ones who had promised to never leave him, had fled. One of his inner circle was standing around a campfire claiming to have never met him. He was isolated. He was alone. He was lost in this world. Yet he continued to serve in God's ultimate plan. He was under pressure. The law courts were against him. The religious elite were against him. The people were against him. He was in the garden in tears. And yet he carried on, seeking to do the Father's plan. He was rejected. He was despised. He was falsely accused. He alone deserved the vindication, the cleared name. And yet the people cried, "Crucify him." And yet he carried on to bring about the greatest act of glory that there has ever been. Where Jesus is. Jesus lived this life. If we're struggling today, Jesus went through it. Look to him. So what does it say to us? If we're struggling, if we're downcast, if our soul is downcast within us, if we're isolated, if we're under pressure, if we're feeling rejected, despised, the answer has to be hope in God. That refrain, "I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Whatever you feel this morning, there will be a time when you can praise God again. It may be this week that things just get better. It may be next month, it may be next year. It may not. But it will happen one day when you will be with God's people in great multitudes, praising him for all eternity. Hope in God, our salvation. Don't put your hope in anything else. Everything else will fade and fall and pass away. The one thing we can put our hope in is God.